Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another week of Hero or Zero here on the Heroes for Hire podcast. My name is Sean Meehan, and joining me, as always, is my partner in crime, Mr. Connor Lawler.
Sean, we're back.
We're back, boys. We're back.
And now I'm saying this as a man who's carried the last 3 weeks of Hero Zero all by himself. It's my week again this week, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, if you wouldn't mind, actually. I'm still
just
quite tired.
The end of time.
I'm not used to this. I'm out of practice.
Don't worry, I'll take it from here.
Don't worry, I got this one, Chief. No. It's my turn, coach. Put me in.
So this is Hero Zero. This is the show where we choose one comic book character every single week. We talk their good points and their bad points, and we generally just give you a bit of a rundown of everything to do with that character. Now, I normally choose DC characters. Sean normally chooses Marvel characters. So Sean has actually been sitting on his fucking arse for 3 weeks, so he's now back in the game, and now he has to actually do some work. Sean, it is your week. I'm excited to know who you've done.
Well, this was a suggestion from a listener, Connor, so I didn't even come up with the idea.
Before we get started, could you give this a like and follow whatever podcast platform that you're listening to this on? And also, we are going for 105 star reviews on Spotify before the end of the year. So if you could get on Spotify, if you're on it now, just put a 5 stars down. It would be very much appreciated. Yeah. And as I said, we have a goal. We're very close to the goal. We just need a little bit of a more of a push.
Yeah, basically. We're right on the edge, and someone just tip us off that cliff.
Just
and
tip us off the
cliff.
And maybe add a question into any Q&As under any episodes. Also, we've got new merch out today, Black Friday, 30% off. Store link is down below. But Sean, it is, all my work is done.
Shut up, Connor. It's time for Hero or Zero.
Now, finally, for the first time in, it feels like months, Sean, who are you doing and why?
I am covering, Connor, a certain coloured goblin. Now,
green.
Incorrect. Right out of the gate. Go fuck yourself.
I thought that was a slam dunk.
No, I am covering the red goblin, Connor.
Ah.
Now, you'd be forgiven for thinking, and I've had to kind of work this report in a very strange way, because Red Goblin is just Norman Osborn, who's usually the Green Goblin. Currently in comics, he's actually the Gold Goblin, which is pretty fucked.
That's how Power Rangers morphed as well. You go from green to gold.
That's the thing, the colours, it denotes rank. But
you don't know that. That's Tommy. Tommy went from green to gold.
He was
the White
Ranger,
movies.
I thought, wasn't he?
Hmm?
Was he not the White Ranger?
Yeah, but gold and white, it was close enough.
Oh, come on now.
The big chest plate was gold, lad.
God, we're talking about a red goblin, Connor. Look, everyone kind of knows the Green Goblin. Norman Osborn. He's Harry Osborn, who is Peter Parker's best friend. He's his dad. He takes an experimental serum, goes mad, dresses up as a goblin, and throws bombs at people.
And then he says, "You can't do this to me.
Yes,
this is
very
my
good
company."
Scene. He also puts his finger in that Thanksgiving pie for no goddamn
weird,
reason.
Weird, man. What's
very
that meant
strange.
To mean?
But the throughout comics, he has died and come back and been resurrected and all this kind of stuff. And then he was back in comics while Dr. Octopus took over the body of Peter Parker. he became the Superior Spider-Man. And then eventually Peter Parker gets his body back and they have a scuffle, himself and the Green Goblin. This is where we pick up the report, Connor.
Okay.
I just blasted through 60 years of Goblin history.
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. So, after an epic duel, Spider-Man unmasks the Green Goblin and injects him with an antidote to the Goblin serum, effectively depowering him. So he turns him back into a normal man.
Oh.
And also, critically, he kind of heals his mind. So he's not, Norman Osborn is not insane anymore.
But is he still a prick?
He's still an absolute prick.
Okay, cool.
But he's not insane.
He doesn't want to kill people. He probably just wants to steal.
This is the thing. Like, he's very consciously still a prick.
Yeah, yeah.
Following his return to sanity, he allies himself with a lady called Countess Kharkov, who is the leader of Symcaria, basically just some Eastern European fucking medieval-ish town.
Cool.
Together, Osborn and Kharkov put the resources of the country into exploiting its people, and they end up building an empire of technologically advanced weapons and robots, naming them the Goblin Army.
I just think it's so good that even when Norman gets healed of his psychosis, that he's not crazy, he's still just the worst.
Just an awful, like, it's not like in No Way Home where, you know, he's like this confused, scared old man when he's not the Goblin.
No, he's just like, he's just Lex Luthor. Like, the man just, he's a hater, but like, he's an all-timer hater. Like, he just wakes up in the morning and he just wants to hate things and people.
Yeah, and so, he doesn't even just stop there at, like, enslaving an entire country. He offers his services to, like, dictators of other countries, being like, I'll advise you on how to, like, best control this situation and this populace.
How did Peter Parker make him worse? By doing that.
This is the thing, is that because he took away the insanity, he's just not focused on Spider-Man at the minute.
He's actually 10 times worse.
He has free reign over the whole world to make them.
He now no longer has one grudge. He's got 6 billion grudges.
Yeah, he used to have one grudge against a man who basically couldn't be beat.
Yeah.
And now he can just use all of that energy on regular humans.
And now he just hates poor people.
Just hates poor people so much. He also starts making use of plastic surgery. He just keeps changing his face so that he can't be caught by any authorities. Like, he's an absolute sociopath.
He's a psychopath, but, like, not really.
So, after the events of, if you remember the Ben Reilly report, when Ben Reilly became the Jackal and started cloning everyone. Yeah, it doesn't matter. After that, Spider-Man decides he's going to capture Norman Osborn. He's heard what he's doing and he's like, look, you're still bad even though you're not a psychotic Green Goblin anymore.
Yeah, so I'm going to turn you back into a psychotic Green Goblin.
No, he just plans to capture him and put him in prison, really.
Oh, okay.
Hot on Osborn's trail, Spider-Man allies himself with Silver Sable to invade Symcaria and overthrow the leadership. Norman attempted to grow his goblin army in numbers by gassing the people of the country with goblin serum.
He's just the worst.
Just an awful, awful man.
Consistently, he's just the worst, regardless of what mental state he's in. He's just born to hate. The man just lives to ruin people's days.
Exactly, and Spider-Man always stops him. So Spider-Man disables the rocket that's going to launch all this gas into people, and Osborn flees the scene.
That's the Amazing Spider-Man plot.
Pretty much, actually. Yeah, yeah. Cool. Except instead of lizards, it's goblins. Having concluded that the only times he had ever come close to beating Spider-Man was when he let the Green Goblin persona out, Norman's new goal is to regain his insanity.
Of course.
He's like, I'm just going to make myself insane again.
Like,
and then
he's,
I'll kill Spider-Man.
He's not just happy, like, leading a country as, like, an advisor to, like, all of their dictators and Hitlers. That doesn't bring him the same oomph it once did.
No, he doesn't have the joy in it anymore.
No, he wants to kill that fucking teenager again.
Unfortunately, the cure that Spider-Man originally gave Norman to get rid of the goblin powers also prevented the goblin formula from ever working on him again.
Oh.
So he can't just re-inject himself. So after science fails him, he tries to become a magic user, but the keepers of the Sanctum Sanctorum said, like, no, we're not teaching you magic. You're, like, the biggest villain that we know of.
Come on. I won't kill a load of people.
After this failed, he hired two henchmen to rob the lockbox containing the Carnage symbiote, Connor. So this was a successful robbery. Osborn quickly bonded with it, becoming the new Carnage. After making the symbiote restore his original facial features, because they changed writers at this point, and eject the nanites that prevented him from regaining his powers, Osborn decided to use the goblin formula to become a human goblin symbiote hybrid. So he's going to be a green goblin with Carnage powers.
Is that not just like overpowered?
Super overpowered, cool. Connor. After taking the goblin formula, he kidnaps J. Jonah Jameson to find out who Spider-Man was. Then the Goblin King, who's another goblin spin-off, came to the goblin lair, being like, I'm just going to get more goblin stuff. Norman
goblins
kills him.
Don't really get much say in any other medium, or any media, other than Spider-Man.
There's like three or four on the go at any one time.
They just
Spider-Man
really
media.
Nailed out into one area, and they've just specced into goblin.
Just love goblins. After Osborn suited up as the Green Goblin in a new kind of armour, Jameson said he couldn't stop Spider-Man because even throwing Gwen Stacy off a bridge didn't stop him from fighting back.
Oh.
Hearing this, Norman remembers why he threw Gwen Stacy off a bridge, and it was to get to Peter Parker because Peter Parker was Spider-Man. So now he gets all of these memories back. Osborn reveals that he knew who Spider-Man was under the mask and then revealed that he had bonded to the Carnage symbiote. He transformed into a monstrous form dubbed the Red Goblin, causing Spider-Man to flee in terror.
What?
Yeah, it's like one of the few times Spider-Man has been actually scared, and it's because he was just really didn't expect the Carnage Green
Goblin
version.
Yeah, I suppose it would be a bit of a... But also, you're lad, you're Spider-Man. Like,
yeah.
Literally, I don't think you can die.
Yeah, the writers won't let you. You're far too profitable.
You're on the cover, lad. It's fine.
So Osborn issued an ultimatum. Peter could either give up being Spider-Man or he could watch the Red Goblin painfully kill all of his loved ones.
Good deal. Okay.
Spider-Man accepted the terms and the Red Goblin left in triumph. His next target was his own family. So his son Harry, his wife Liz, and also Norman's estranged wife were trying to flee the city because they heard Norman was back. Norman chases them down, meets them at the docks. He is then assaulted by the Human Torch, Silk, and Spider-Man, along with Agent Anti-Venom. So Anti-Venom, again, briefly touched on in the Venom report.
It's the other Venom. Is it the school bully Venom?
Yeah, you got it.
Oh,
Flash.
What's his name? He's played by Joe Manganiello.
Flash Thompson.
Yeah, that's his name.
So, yeah, and he has powers that can destroy symbiotes. And this caught Norman off guard, but Norman quickly turned the tables by forcing Agent Anti-Venom to make a difficult choice. He could either defeat him or he could save his mortally wounded friends, because Norman had just ran through the Human Torch and Silk and Spider-Man at this point.
Right, okay.
Agent Anti-Venom chose to save his friends but paid for it, as the goblin cut him down while he saved the rest of them.
As in, like, killed him?
Kills him. Kills the man.
Fantastic.
Kills Flash Thompson.
Cool.
So he then captured his grandson, Harry Osborn's kid, Normie Osborn.
Sorry.
And he infects Normie with the Carnage symbiote.
Sean, the kid's name is Normie.
He's a bit of a Normie.
No, like... They looked at the baby's face in the fucking crib and looked at him and said, that's a fucking normie right there.
Yeah. Just really read that child from birth.
Not like, oh, I don't know, Sean even.
Yeah.
I'd accept Sean. Maybe Mark, Jason, Frank, right?
Yeah.
But Normie. Bold strategy when you know your dad's a serial killer Hitler.
Well, this is the thing. Why would you want to honour the man at all? Call him Harry after his dad.
Little Hitley.
Oh, no. So Red Goblin's next stop was Alchemax, the chemicals company, where he would destroy the anti-venom that was stored there so that no one could stop him, essentially.
Okay.
He was successful in destroying it, but he was confronted by Spider-Man. This voided his deal with Osborn. So Norman was like, look, we had a deal. You stop being Spider-Man, I'll leave your family alone. You broke that deal. So he sends Normie to attack Aunt May.
Fantastic.
But what we don't know is Aunt May had a brief fling with Dr. Octopus back in the day. Dr. Octopus is now protecting Aunt May, and he's fighting child Norman Osborn, Normie Osborn, who he also is Carnage.
Sean, this is the worst thing I've ever heard.
These comics are terrible. They're not good. Spider-Man comics have not been good for close to a decade.
How was he so popular as a character?
I don't understand it at all. Harry eventually comes by. He takes up a glider and pumpkin bombs and starts finding his dad as well.
How does Harry feel about Normie getting the head punched off him by Dr. Octopus?
Not thrilled. But he also is like, he doesn't care about him. He's just like, here's the heir to the goblin fucking lineage.
Right.
It becomes a big punch up. Spider-Man punches Norman away from the house. They keep fighting. They eventually end up in Times Square. Norman decides that the best way to get at Spider-Man is that he's just going to start killing people indiscriminately.
Perfect.
Classic move by the Goblin.
It's the old kill people until he stops me trick. It's a good one.
Exactly. And so he just starts, like, he's stabbing people, he's throwing bombs in every direction.
It's fucking hell.
He's a lunatic. Spider-Man is distracted, as you can imagine, by the carnage. And he attempts to save civilians. While doing this, the Red Goblin pins him down and begins to strangle him. And he's on the verge of killing Spider-Man at this point. 30 more seconds and Spider-Man is fucking dead forever for
right.
reals. Spider-Man says that the credit for his death would go entirely to the Carnage symbiote, banking on Norman Osborn's enormous ego.
Oh, shit.
Sure enough, the Goblin angrily shed the symbiote, insisting that all he needed to kill Spider-Man was himself. Spider-Man then went toe-to-toe with the Green Goblin, emerging victorious.
Beating the shit out of him.
Just pastes the man. Like, Norman desperately attempts to rebond with the Carnage symbiote, however Spider-Man incinerated it, and the mental backlash of this destroyed Norman's mind, with the cracks being filled by Cletus Cassidy's personality.
Wait. So now Cletus Cassidy, who is Carnage.
Yeah.
He has morphed into Norman Osborn's brain.
Yes. So the brain damaged Norman Osborn in Ravencroft Asylum later on is talking to Spider-Man. He says that he believes Spider-Man to be Norman Osborn and that he himself is Cletus Cassidy.
Oh, shit.
Spider-Man then leaves the former supervillain to his madness, stating, Norman Osborn no more.
So just Spider-Man no more, but Norman Osborn no
That's
more.
It. Yeah, yeah,
it's audacious for them to write that story and then finish it off with one of the most famous Spider-Man lines of all time.
It really hasn't earned it, hasn't it?
I don't think so. If they threw in a great power, great responsibility bit as well, I think it really would have worked.
Oh, I'm sure there's some element of that in there that I just didn't come across.
I just want to know one question, because this could change the whole report, right? So You mentioned that whole story. Obviously, I think personally right now it's terrible. But I can move that story to number one story I've ever read in comic books if you tell me this. And this is true.
Mm-hmm.
When Normie shows up
at
Aunt May's house, is there a paddle where Doc Ock football punts the little child into the air away from the home?
I do think he gets thrown through a wall.
I need a kick. Unfortunately, I needed
a
punt.
Doc Ock's not a big kicker. Like, he's all arm-based, you know.
He's all arm-based.
He likes a fling. Like, he'll fling a child across a room. That's okay.
I just love the idea of a scene where, like, the child walks in, like, Chucky, and you just fucking absolutely kick him 7 feet away.
Like, ding-dong, next panel, a boot.
straight through the door. He doesn't even open the door.
And so, then Norman is just Cletus Cassidy for a while, and then he comes back as Norman. And then As Norman Green Goblin. Then he's a good guy. And now he's Peter Parker's boss, and he makes some, like, technologically advanced Spider-Man suits. And
that's less exciting. I like Norman the dick.
Yeah, he's much more interesting when he's just an absolute cunt.
That'd be like making Lex Luthor Clark Kent's boss.
Yeah, but also he knew he was Superman and, like,
and, like, helped him out.
Helped
and, like,
him in
made
his
him like
crime
good.
Fighting quest. Like,
well, yeah, I feel like that takes a lot of the joy. Like, how it works is Norman Osborn is, like, the ultimate fucking just the worst. Just the absolute worst human that always takes advantage of other people. And Spider-Man's the complete opposite.
Exactly. And the thing about Norman as well is that, like, any time Norman Osborn turns good, you know exactly what's going to happen in the story.
Like, nobody trusts him.
No. I don't know why he's been mayor of New York, like, two or three times. He was president once. Like,
I think they're just following Lex Luthor's just storylines.
I think so. I think Green Goblin, I like the, like, I think he's a cool design and he's a cool villain. But I think Lex Luthor is just better written. In terms of, like, the
Lex Luthor, I think Green Goblin and Norman Osborn, who's one of my favourite characters, but, like, I think he's two things at once. He's Lex Luthor, but they also want the crazy Joker kind of side as well.
He's Lex Luthor Joker is what he is, like.
Which, I mean, I think kind of works, but Lex is crazy because, or Lex is evil and scary because he's not crazy.
Yeah.
He's just, like, he has a goal in mind.
And he'll do anything to reach that.
And Joker is Joker is scary because he's a psychopath. And then they, like, combine the two, which I suppose is, like, a good analogy for, like, business and sociopaths and, like, to get to the top, you gotta be fucking psychopathic and all that stuff.
But, like, that's like an American Psycho Patrick Bateman thing. But, like, I don't know. I think just he's a very difficult character to write.
Yeah.
And coupling that with, they haven't really known what to do with Spider-Man since, like, 2010. I just think that it's kind of a mess of a story.
Because I think, like, Norman and Spider-Man, you could write an amazing fucking comic book if you just have the two of them act like themselves.
Yeah.
Just, like, no. Actually, a great one is in, like, No Way Home, when you have Norman just beating the fucking piss out of Tom Holland in that hallway. Like, that scene is so good because Norman's just evil. Like, he's just scary, powerful when he wants to be.
But also, like, when he's, like, with Aunt May at the feast shelter, part of you is like, man, I really want this dude to be all right.
Yeah, I hope he's okay. But he's not. Like, he's always going to be evil.
He's always
going to
be the goblin. Like,
I suppose I do like the idea that he can't control it. Like, it's another side of him.
Yeah.
I do like that. But then if you want to go the full route of he's just evil, I think you can write so many cool comic books with Norman Osborn and Spider-Man because they're so opposite that it works so well. That, like, they have such different viewpoints in the world. And Norman Osborn, what annoys him more than a fucking teenager beating him?
Yeah. And, like, the best, it's my favourite panel is right after Peter Parker gets his body back, Goblin is, like, talking to Spider-Man, thinking he's talking to Doc Ock. And then Spider-Man cracks a joke, and the Goblin just has this horrified look on his face. He's like, oh, it's you.
I hate you.
Oh, fuck.
What a report. I mean, Red Goblin, probably not Norman's finest hour.
No. But an hour he had, at least.
A thing that happened. Didn't we all not read... We all read Goblin the Substitch, really, when you think about it.
We've all been a Red Goblin in our own time.
The child.
Would you like to take us out, Connor, on that note?
If you liked what you heard, we've done hundreds of these, covering loads of different comic book characters. So if there's anything that stands out to you, any characters that you like the look of, I mean, you can scroll on through on Spotify. They're all there. There's hundreds of them there. All DC, a lot of Marvel. I covered Bane. I've covered Mr. Freeze over the last few weeks as well. I covered Booster Gold last week, who's one of my favourite characters. Sean, by the way, Batman the Animated Series is on Irish Netflix as of today, just
good
to let
God.
You know.
That's what about Young Justice, my favourite show?
Shut the fuck up. If anyone doesn't know the reference, they're like, geez, he's very mean. The guy just loves Young Justice.
It's like, no, I've never seen it, but Connor
loves
it.
It's a bit. He keeps telling me he's going to watch it, but he won't.
Very good bit.
As I said, there's merch out there. 5 stars on Spotify, please. That would really, really help us out. You can become a Patreon today. We put up loads of extra movie reviews and TV show reviews. That's all over there. The link is down below, and that's just to kind of support the show and help us out. And most importantly, you can just tell one human being that we exist.
Just the one, please.
So I've been Connor Lawler.
I've been Sean Meehan.
And we shall see you all next week, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.